My first guest is part of the Going West Festival, which has put together a book to celebrate 25 years of said festival, a collection of essays from a host of Going West speakers who've addressed the crowd since its origin. It's a beautiful hardback edition. I think we're going to give it away later this week as our hump prize. Yes, Andrew's nodding there, so again, I've stayed out of trouble. A lovely reflection of the literary scene in Auckland, in fact, you could say New Zealand over the past 25 years, includes speeches from some writers no longer with us, like Michael King and Maurice Shadbolt. My first guest is Going West Trust Chair Naomi McCleary, who was a big part of setting up the festival and, of course, I think persuading some of the people in this book to come along and take part of it. Kia ora, Naomi.
Kia ora, Brian.
Lovely to have you on. Congratulations. Well, and congratulations on the festival. 25 years. Well done.
Yeah, it's quite something, isn't it? Yeah.
Did you think when you started the festival out west that it would last this long? Was that your aim?
You went from year to year and you were so passionately involved in each festival that in a sense you didn't take that long view. It was just every year. It was a passion. It consumed the whole of my winter, along with my partner, Murray Gray, who was the programmer for 20 years. Yeah, I don't think we looked ahead, but we did look intensely into what was happening in the literary scene in New Zealand year by year. And these keynote speakers that are in the book, They were serious invitations. That sort of keynote address that sort of launched the festival on its opening gala night was a really considered invitation. And I've been dipping in and out of it over the last week because I was there for all of it. So in a way, I can hear those voices. But as I go back into it, I think, gosh, how incredibly fresh those voices still seem. And how important the things they were saying still are. And I'm surprised. I'm almost surprised by it. Yeah.
Why did you think you and Murray, because I assume he thought the same, why did you think there was space in Auckland's cultural scene for something like Going West?
Well, at the beginning...
Is that Murray laughing in the background by any chance?
It is Murray laughing in the background. I didn't think you would hear that. He's laughing. Well, I mean, there wasn't another festival at that point in 1996 when we started. And we were in Waitakere City, and as you know, Sir Bob Harvey was the mayor. And so we had a very, what I would say, arts literate council to support this in the first instance. So, you know, we had the backing of the council. We had council funding behind it. We also had Creative New Zealand funding and a whole lot of other sources of funding. So there was a space, there was an empty space. And, you know, Murray had immersed himself in New Zealand literature, you know, for all of his life. He knew it deeply and intimately. He knew a lot of our great writers. He had relationships with them. And so we could craft this really intimate but quite sort of profound sort of series of conversations every year. Yeah.
Was it easy most of the time to persuade the writers to come along?
Oh, yeah. That wasn't hard. That was not hard at all. When you said, is it easy, I'm thinking of the whole production side.
Oh, yeah, I was going to come to that. Don't you worry.
Which is very much, you know, my baby and, of course, you know, the tremendous stresses and tensions over actually putting on something that seems incredibly relaxed and intimate and yet is being micromanaged. But coming back to the content, no, the writers loved the fact that we were a New Zealand Writers' Festival. They weren't the support act, Joy Overseas Stars. So they loved the fact that they were the stars. And that was actually expressed quite openly by Michael King right at the beginning because he was involved right from the beginning. And I can remember after him, I'm not his keynote address, which is in this beautiful book, but he came to give other sessions and chairing things. And I can remember him ringing Murray up one year and saying, you know, so what have you got for me this year? And Murray said, John, we can't have you again, Michael. We've had you every year. And he said, you can't do it without me. And so there was that lovely sort of community of writers around it. So no, there was no problem getting the stars, no problem getting the people at all.
Well, this brings me to maybe the more problematic side of things, and that is financing something like this, making sure you've got supporters, people who will bankroll you, who will sponsor you. How easy or difficult was that?
It was just a lot of work. I mean, it all came together because for those first, it's those first 14 years, we produced this festival with council backing, out of council. I was the arts manager in the council. So we had that really, you know, strong support beneath us. But we did have to get other support and Foundation North Creative New Zealand, all the usual ones. And we also had a patron in Sir Graham Douglas, who also put significant amounts of money into the festival right through his life. Yeah.
Who took the photographs in the collection of essays? Was it a series of photographers? Because they are lovely shots, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because the photographs were, well, I think, chosen by the editors to, you know, to suit. So some of them are Gil Hanley's photographs, which were taken at the festival, and you can sort of tell which ones those are because you can often see the podium and see them speaking. Some of them are photographs chosen from other photographers. So there's a mixture in the book. But the actual essays are beautifully edited transcripts of the spoken word. And I think that's what gives them such liveliness because, yeah, I mean, I was reading Nigel Cox today and I thought, well, first of all, I thought it's awful that such a wonderful voice is stilled. But how relevant what he was saying is right now. It almost shocked me. And yet I was there for that speech and I can remember being completely blown away by it. It was given very soon after he came back from Berlin, where he had been setting up the Holocaust Museum. And he talked about that incredible small window when you come back from overseas to New Zealand and you see New Zealand so clearly and you see it in a way that sort of ebbs away as you become more accustomed to being back home. It's an absolutely stunning essay, but they're all stunning. I mean, it's just one that came to me. Okay.
That sense of yes, I know exactly what you mean. And I had two visceral and very different feelings about coming back to New Zealand the two times I lived in the Northern Hemisphere. Not so much when I came back from Australia, but certainly the first time I came back, I thought, oh my God, this place is so far away from the rest of the world. And off I went to work in Dunedin. And I remember looking out at the Pacific and thinking, oh, it's nothing between this and Antarctica and feeling terribly isolated. The second time I came back, none of that felt completely different. And now when I go south to Dunedin and see the Pacific, that mighty ocean, which looks so, you can see the curvature of the earth, it seems to me. I don't know if you can or you can't, but it feels like that. And I feel that embraces me. I feel right at home in that isolation.
Yeah. And you talked about the conflict of sinking back into feeling at home, but still feeling quite critical and surprised by some things. That was the stunner, but there are so many others in this book. And I think the other thing that it does is it is a sort of it's an arc of our social history over 25 years. It's telling the story of us over 25 years, as well as specifically talking about particular subjects. It's basically all about telling stories, isn't it? It's all about telling stories, which is sort of what we're all about.
I'm speaking to Naomi McCleary. She's the chair of the Going West Trust, the West Auckland Literary Festival, celebrating its 25th birthday with a collection of essays which are based on the addresses of keynote guests who took part in the festival over the years. Every single one's a New Zealand writer, right, Naomi?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Did you do the editing? Because you talked about that before, of those speeches, to put them into book form?
No, I didn't do the editing. I mean, my role in this is that we talked about doing a book for the 25th anniversary, which was last year. And, of course, the festival was cancelled. One of the, I suppose, one of the small advantages that comes out of this COVID pandemic is that not doing a live festival last year and having to do a whole lot of different things this year, it sort of gave us a bit of breathing space, and we could actually return to this notion of publishing a book. It's the 26th year this year, but it's a 25th anniversary book, really. And the partner in this is Oratia Media. And Peter Darling, who's the director of Oratia Media, which is a local publishing firm, does wonderful, wonderful nonfiction. And so they came into the partnership, and they got a grant, and we got a grant, and we put it together. And Robin Mason, James Littlewood, and one of the editors from Oratia Media did all the incredible work that goes in just cleaning up and keeping the freshness of the voice, but cleaning up those transcripts. Because we've got an archive of every word that's ever been spoken at Going West, and you can access that.
Oh, yes, I know all about that, Naomi, and our listeners do too, because we've been replaying some of those wonderful addresses over the 25 years on nights over the last year or two. And yes, I want to shout out to whoever your sound engineer is, because the sound engineering is brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. And if you go to goingwestfest.co.nz, there's a whole panel of podcasts of drawn from those archives. Some of them are these very addresses that are in the book, but a lot of them are other sessions as well. So there's a huge podcast reservoir there. And there are also, because this year we've had to find a different way to be engaging with our audience, we've done some wonderful poetry videos, commissioning new work, and there are a couple of documentaries coming up that will be launched in a month or so. We got really smart this year, so we thought we split the festival into four monthly sessions, a month apart, and thought we'd escape lockdown. We got the Gardenite done with another, by the way, brilliant address from Simon Wilson. And on we sailed, for the next big monthly session, and bang, lockdown. So we're going online. And we've been online. You can get the online broadcasts on our website also, and for the next one at least we'll be online again. But
And what will that next online session be, Naomi?
The online session, gosh, it's about fabricated reality. It's about fiction. So we've done one on documented reality, and this one's about fabricated reality. And I can't quite tell you right at this moment which of the speakers will be on that. But if you go on to our website, you'll be able to pick up the program. And that, I think, will broadcast over, will stream online on a Saturday, Sunday, and Monday night, starting on the 9th of October.
Yeah. And participation in the festival online, how has that been?
Good. Oh, look, we've expanded our audience numerically enormously. Yeah, so in a sense, I suppose if we can look towards going back to a live festival, which of course we do all want to, we all want to be together in live festivals. I think the being online will have expanded our audience quite incredibly, actually, when we do get back to being together again. Yeah.
I guess it's just a question of waiting to see when that might be. You're going to go to what, level 3 in a few days?
Yeah. But we won't be coming out of level 3 until just before the next what was going to be the next live weekend. So
yeah.
it won't be live, it will be online.
Yeah.
We hope maybe November, fingers crossed. But to come back to the book, have you seen the book?
I've got it right here in front of me. I'm holding on to it. It's solid.
Isn't it a lovely thing to hold? I mean, it is a thing of beauty. Just the very book, the lovely black cover and the deep orange embossed text, front. And for me, I was at the very first production meeting about this with Oratia Media and our producer, James Littlewood, and a few other people. And I was amazed because I thought, we'd get a sort of hope, I was hoping for a classy paperback. I thought that's what we could do. I couldn't believe it when Peter Darling said, no, we can do a hard copy, a hardcover. And I went, oh, wow. And so we talked about that and looked at some samples of the sort of thing we could do, which was just amazing. And I said to him, could we have a ribbon page marker? Thinking, like, to me, that seemed the absolute last little touch. And indeed, we have got a beautiful
Yes, you page. Do indeed. Where's mine at the moment? Mine is at page 60 and 61. At the moment, Vincent O'Sullivan's.
Ah, yeah, I'm at the end of Michael King's wonderful dissertation, because that one, of course, is one that touches me so deeply, because it came just a few days after 9/11. And I think you can hear this one on podcast, but I mean, he's such an amazing man. And I can remember emailing him and saying, because I think 9/11, I think we experienced 9/11 here Monday, Tuesday of a week, and we were to start on Friday.
Yeah.
And I emailed Michael King and I said, Michael, you know, what do we do? Should we cancel? Nobody will want to come. You know, what do we do now? Because we were all paralyzed with the horror of 9/11. And he sent this wonderful email back saying, no, it's never been more important that we get together and laugh and talk and be together. And in those 4 days, he completely rewrote his address, and it was an amazing personal family story, really about forgiveness, and wonderfully, I've never seen a bigger audience. The whole hall was packed with people. I think we were desperate to get out and sort of be together or something. Yeah.
Dumb question, but where are the addresses normally given?
Oh, well, for most of that 25 years, they've been given in Tauranga, in the Tauranga Hall, which we used to transform from a community hall into a sort of conference centre at great effort and expense. But, they were just always given in Tauranga, once in Henderson, when the Tauranga Hall caught fire 1 year. But no, always
caught fire, did you say? But survived. 1 year.
Oh, yeah, it survived, but it was too damaged to go ahead with the festival that year, so we flipped over to Henderson for just 1 year. But, no, for all those 25 years, well, from the second one anyway, it's always been in Tauranga. Mm.
Naomi, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
You're most welcome. It's been a pleasure.
That's Naomi McCleary. She is the chair of the Going West Trust, as in the Going West Festival. The festival has just put out Voices of Aotearoa, 25 years of Going West oratory. And it is indeed a collection of addresses by some of the keynote speakers at the festival over its first 25 years of existence.